three times as part of a list of simanim in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Shin Lamed Gimel Arachayim, Simen Shin Lamed Gimel in Yeridan, Simen Shin Lamed Gimel Choshen Mishpat. The one in Ebenezer doesn't come up is because there are only about 180 simanim or so in Ebenezer, so you don't get the Shin Lamed Gimel. However, if you look on the source sheet that I provided you, there are basically, you'll see six things, but it's really five. One in each chelik of your Shulchan Aruch, plus a little bonus in your Yoredeh. So I wanted to start first with Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara at the end of Perek Bamet Tom, and some of you may remember this from last year, there's a Tosefta that the Gemara quotes, which is the Ein Raskin Loes Hashelet VeLoes Avara B'Shabbos B'Shvil SheYazuvu Meimam. You're not allowed to sort of crush snow or hail on Shabbos so that you get water. But you're allowed to put inside a ka'ara, inside a pot or inside a cup, and that's not a problem. So the question is, what exactly is the nature of this prohibition of risk shelling? So here there's a three-way machlokas harishon. Rashi writes that Isuk Sheleg is it's a little bit like a malacha. He's molded b'Shabbos, but it's not Isur molded. Rashi says, "Dami l'malacha shebore hamayim ha'elu." It's as if he's creating water. That's the interpretation Rashi offers, in which case the Isur is not what we might call nolad, but rather simply, actually, it's an Isur Rabbanon of malacha. And the Rabban writes based upon that obviously something that melts would not be a problem. Something that melts mamela on Shabbos would not be a problem. You could take the water, leave it out, or you could even leave it near the fire to the point where it won't get hot, where it couldn't possibly get hot. It's not could be baliat zeledas, and the water would be permitted. And we would say that the water was originally a solid, and now it's a liquid, and that's called nola. So that's what Rashi writes, and that's how the Ramban explains Rashi. The Ramban, however, does quote the Sefer HaTruma. That's Rabbeinu Baruch, Baal HaTosfos. And Rabbeinu Baruch claims that the issue here is that of nolat. And based upon that, he says, we learned this last year, that if you were to take some shuman, you have fat that congealed, and you were to put it near the fire, even not near the fire, but at room temperature, it would melt into liquid. So the Sefer HaTruma says that it's usur to eat that, because that's called nolat. Maybe even usur to do it, it's not clear, but certainly usur to eat it because it's nolat. And that's what he claims is going on here with the Risuk Shelley. And only he doesn't, when they quote the Rabbeinu Baruch, they don't explain why is it mutter to put in a kos or a ka'ara. So the answer there, and I think this is actually mentioned in the, you look in the Achronu, we discussed, the issue comes up, I think, at the end of Simen Shin Yud Ches, and the laws of Bishul, in Shabbos, when Ramo, I think, quotes as a chumra, the din of Nolat, about Shuman Sheni Moach. So if you look in the Achronu there, they explain that if the shuman melts, but it's in something else, so when it melts, it's not the end, but it's already bitarobet, so then we're not choshesh. So here, if you take the ice and you put it in a cup, so according to the Baal HaTruma, it would be a problem if you put it into an empty cup. But if you put it into a cup where there's, let's say, a little liquid, you put ice in there and it melts, because it's not nikar, so there's no din of nola. There is a third shita, and that, Danny, I'm getting an echo. Did you change something?
I did not.
Okay, fine. It's okay. So the third shita, which the Rashba quotes or suggests, and the Ritva quotes as well, which is that it's just like schita. It's like a schita's peros, that you're taking the ice and you're squeezing it and you're turning it into a liquid. And it's really xeras mashkin shizot. So the Rashba, the Ritva suggests that the nafkamina between this and Rashi is that what would happen if you put it into an empty kos? So if you hold like Rashi, the whole iser is an iser malacha. You're not doing anything, so mamela, it's not a problem. But according to this other pshat, that it's a din in sita, so there isn't din a mashke chazavu, that if you have peros and they ooze out liquid, so if it's b'pneatzmo, so it would be awesome. And therefore, we say that if you hold like that shita, then it would be usur if it's into an empty kos, and it will only be permissible if it's into a regular kos. And the Rashba, the Ritva explained that if you that if you were, the truth is, if you actually hold that it's vidin schitas peros, you should actually be able to crush the yadayim, the ice or the snow, into a cup of liquid in the same way that you can squeeze, let's say, a lemon onto salmon. Right? In other words, if the mash, it's a little bit, the comparison is not perfect, because by a lemon, I think we say it's usher to squeeze it into a mashke. It's only worth it to squeeze it out of the salmon, because so. if you squeeze it into an empty cup or into a liquid, it was originally an ochel, and now it's a mashke. And that's the iser of iser derais, iser derabanan, of the farei tolda of gosh. Whereas if you squeeze the lemon, which is not going to be iser derais anyway, it has to be, we paskin, it has to be grapes or olives. But if you squeeze a lemon onto salmon, so then it's originally a solid, and it's still a solid when it gets to the salmon. Is that a question?
Yeah. How can it be schita? Is not that the whole issue is to take something from within something else?
It's very difficult. I don't think the Rashba or the Ritva like this, and I don't think this shot even is vulnerable. I don't think we really consider that seriously. They do quote to the schita. There are a lot of issues in terms of the vineyard. One would probably also say, on the shot, that the ice in the first place is because it did a mashke to start with. On some level. In other words, it's a frozen liquid, it's not a solid after which you extract it. So you're saying it's conceptually correct. But they do quote the sheets. There are three shitos.
Okay.
Anyway, so with that, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, so this is the first source on the sheet, the Chavar writes, Hashelek v'habara in raskin osam. You're not allowed to grind them up like that. The Hainu l'shavron v'chatichos dakos kadesh yezul l'lema. Even to break it up into small pieces, so that the it melts, so the water flows. You're allowed to put it into a cup where there's already water or wine, and it can melt on its own and you're not koshish. So the assumption is, at least in this case, not like the Bala Truma, it's like Shitas Rashi. One of the interesting things that we should point out, and I mentioned this before, but is that according to Rashi, it seems that it's also to do the Yadayim. It's also to do the Yadayim, even if there is stuff in the coast. I just want to see, I have the Ramban in front of me. He has a note about this. Where's the Rashi? One second. Listen, so the Rishonim point out that it sounds from the Tosefta that you're allowed to actually allowed to do it via dying. The Ritva suggests that maybe the Tosefta is dealing with an empty coast and with a coast of stuff in it, and we're dealing with a Rashi here is dealing with an empty coast. But the truth is, according to Rashi, it really shouldn't matter. Even if the coast has liquid in it, it still looks like the malacha. It's not only Mishum Spikas Peros would one distinguish. Or Shulchan Aruch, they don't make a distinction. You're not allowed to be Marasik Yadayim, even if there's liquid already in the coast. But if it happens to Mela, then it's Mutter. One of the interesting things that should be noted here, I don't know what Ala Truma would say, but can you make ice cubes on Shabbos? So, what would you say?
Well, it's the same issue as Noah. You're, instead of making the ice into water, you make water mats.
You put it somewhere cold.
So
put it somewhere
if you hold the three combo line, one could argue, but Ba'al Truma, that it would be usher to make ice. If you hold like what the Shita that the Ritva and Rashbat quote, that is Kishita, obviously it's irrelevant. And even if you hold like Rashi, if it's something that happens to the Mela, it's not considered a Malacha. And therefore, we assume the ice, if you're making ice on Shabbos for Shabbos, where it will be ready on Shabbos, and you have intent to use it, so it's mutter. Okay. Along with these dinim, a few other dinim the Chavar mentions in this context, he says, mutter l'shaber hakera kadeirit alay mitachon. If you're not trying to use the ice, but you want to get this water underneath the ice, it's a layer of ice on top. L'chaste habore, some of you are physics majors know that when you have a lake, ice forms on top of water remains below. Some of you know that's because the densest point of water is at 4 degrees. Now, if it weren't for that, this, I'm sure Chaim and Danny might maybe also can explain to you that if it weren't for that special chesed or kodesh baruch hu, the fish would all freeze to death in the winter. But fortunately, at 4 degrees, the water starts to get less dense. And so, but you wind up with ice on top, water on the bottom. So let's say you want the water. So, Shulchan Aruch says it's permissible because you're not breaking the ice to get water out of the ice. You're just trying to get the stuff that's underneath. And similarly, you're not sick at all. The Machaber writes, "Sarach lizar bechorek shel itol yadav amayim sheish b'mshela gobarim." If itol izar shel yitzken ben yadav shelay mirasek, you should be careful about washing your hands. If there's ice cubes in it, that you shouldn't rub your hands together. In Sifter Gimel, he writes, "Dorei shelay gavapo ben ochoshes." You're allowed to walk on the snow on Shabbos. It's not a problem. Some talk about from the perspective of Davar Shein and Miskaven, although the Taz writes here, the Taz writes that it's a psikresha, it should be osir, but the Chacham the word goes there because you can't walk. We wouldn't be able to walk on Shabbos in many places if we said that you're not allowed to walk on snow.
I tried suggesting that Svara last year, and you didn't like it.
What's that?
I tried suggesting that Svara last year by Harisha, and you didn't like it.
What? What's far by Harisha?
By walking
on the grass?
Walking on mud, specifically.
Yeah.
And you didn't like the svara. I said because otherwise it would be impossible to walk, and you didn't like it.
Oh, you mean when you make indentations in the mud?
Yeah. Can I assume that svara is now actually valid?
No, I want to know, what did I say about walking in the mud?
You didn't like the answer. You said if it's usser, it's usser, and there's not a lot we can do about it. I mean, if it were to be usher, if it were to have been usher, it would have been usher. Clearly, it's mutter.
Okay.
But
well, firstly, because you're making a guma, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, but the difference there is you're talking about potentially this in the race. You can talk about this in the rabbanah. You can say logazru there. It's a little trickier.
Okay, so it doesn't work.
So I'm not closer, bro.
Okay. Okay, great.
Not yet. Okay, the last one, which the adolescents will appreciate, Hamarami Rutberg Mahi Mahatomi Raglaim Shelley. Fine. So the Marami Rutberg would say, presumably he wouldn't say that it's Dover Shi Efshar. You know, there's an Isser the Masha the Kabab, which is about the Shatsuas Nafshosetim. It's quoted in Or Haim, I think it's the Bimel or Sidalin. But the Marami Rutberg would say that it's basically Dover Shein and Iskabi. I'm surprised no one said it's an Isser Tzoveya. It's fine.
Exactly.
Fine. So that's the din in Orach Chaim. So now, let's turn to, there is another din in Orach Chaim that's really tied to your Inan topic. It's not the next one. Let's do the next one. There is a din that if you shaft an animal, Ish ish mibnei Yisrael o menager asher bu besocham asher yatsu tseit chaya o asher yachel v'shofach estom o v'chisam be'afor. So if you hunt an animal, chay or oaf, it doesn't apply to behema. It doesn't have to be hunted, even if you have it in a pen. And you do shchita on it, so v'shafach esamo v'chisam be'afar. So din of kisui hadam. So lemaisa in most cases, it doesn't, it only applies by when you shaft chickens. And when you shaft behema, gas or dakas, so there's no din of kisui hadam. It's there's a pasuk. The psukim are found in Parsha Safemos, it's in Perek Yitzayin, it's there for So the question, of course, is what constitutes afar? What constitutes dirt? So the Shulchan Aruch here gives a klal. Shulchan Aruch says, this is the second source, if you have something which you can plant something, that constitutes afar. If they don't, you can't grow something in it. If nikru afar, if in somewhere in Tanakh, and I don't know about Lashon Ben Adam, but in Tanakh, they're ever referred to as afar mechasin bohem. You're allowed to cover. So you'll see it. So, and the Shulchan Aruch now lists a bunch of examples. Some things mechasin bezevel, aval im mechasin bezevel agas. One of the things also is that it has to be powdery. It has to cover in that sense. Lo b'shrikas mateches. Second line. If enam srufin, unless you burn the metal, whatever that means, if you grind that metal into dust, so you're not allowed to use that. Unless you grind up gold, I don't recommend doing this. It's a very, I know we love mitzvahs, but I would recommend doing kisei dam with dust, gold dust. It's a rather expensive mitzvah to do. Okay? Why? Shenikra offer the siv afros the havlon. The pasuk gives you, in addition, the Shulchan Aruch says, ether nikra offer. You can use ashes, even though you can't, I mean, I guess you could maybe plant some in the ashes. Ashes are probably a very good fertilizer, but I doubt there's an atzman. I don't know. The botanists have experimented, but aether is also called afar the silva hula kame me afar srefasa hatos. Okay, so that's the din of kisei adam. So then,
Rabbi Wiener, we appear to have lost you.
What's that?
We appear to have lost you for a second.
Can, you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Did you hear that? Did you hear me reading Simchat Gimel?
No.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, tell me, Simchat Gimel we heard. Sorry. We didn't hear anything after So Now.
Okay, that's fine. So, I read Simchat Gimel.
Yes.
Now Simchat Dal. Ein b'chassin v'afar ha-medbor, v'ishi eretz melecho v'ein amatz nechast. Okay. Now, the last line in the Ramah is v'ein l'chassos b'shele. You're not allowed to use snow to cover something. Here, Mordechai quoted B'Shem HaGom, and they still say quotes this, B'chassin B'Shele, and he quotes the pasuk that you'll actually see as the title of the shir. That's not why it's the title of the shir. Ki L'Shele Gilmar Hevei Aretz. This section of Yom is describing God's mastery, control, and direction of the universe. So when you read the pasuk Shutav, and the Beis Yosef himself points this out, this is not God saying that Shele is Aretz. Firstly, it doesn't say Shele is Tafar. And number two, what it means is God said to the snow, be on the ground. So God dictates to the snow that it should fall to the ground. But there was a shita that the Mordechai quoted that you can be b'chassin of the Shele, and so the Beis Yosef rejects it, and the Rama writes this as well. It is kind of odd anyway when the Hakamim is covered with Shele, because presumably when the Shele melts, you're going to see the Dam, unless the Dam already got absorbed in the ground. But it's a little bit odd. So anyway, here the Shulchan Aruch says that there is no din of Kisei Hadam Dishele. Am I still coming through?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now to the really, really interesting din, the one that's Lamaisa. It comes up Lamaisa. Mikvah Sheleg. So, there is a din that a mikvah cannot be made of Mayim Shulim. Can't be made of Mayim Shulim. Ach, mikveh Mayim. Can you hear me still? Because I lost the sound.
We were just not talking. We're simply not saying anything. Yes. We're simply not saying anything.
I don't hear you. I've lost the sound, Danny.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Let me see if I can get that back. Meanwhile, keep going.
I guess you guys can't talk. And you'll start waving furiously if you can't hear me.
Okay. Do you? Okay.
So, there's a Mayan Uvar Mikveh Mayim Yen Tahor. So there's a hekesh between Mikveh Mayim and Mayan. Just as a Mayan is Bidei Shamayim, it doesn't have a human intermediary to create it. So too, Mikveh Mayim. So.
To wave vigorously.
And draw water. Now I hear you.
Okay, great. We got it. We got everything back. Everything's good.
Excellent. Okay. Fine. So, there is a din that Mayim Shulim is puzzled. I hear water in a kli, and I fill a mikvah with it. It's no good. In fact, the Chachamim was so mafir that if I have a mikvah that's not yet memsah, which is the minimum shear of mikvah, Mayim Shekho Kufa Shaladam Olavayim. So then, if I pour three lubin of Mayim Shekufim in it, it's puzzled. And you can't be mashir in mikvah. Okay. The din of Mayim Shulim being puzzled is a big machlokas of Rishonim. It seems most Rishonim hold that Mayim Shulim is a psul de Rabbanim. The Rambam, I think, the Ravid, some of the Balei Tosfos held Mayim Shulim is a psul de Raisa. Those who hold that Mayim Shulim is only puzzled in the Rabbanim is that Zigzera, you might be told in a kli. That if you have a kli that's separate from, that's not built into the karka, you have a bathtub that stands on separately on legs, and you pour water into it, so that would be a kli. Everybody agrees. Even if you have a big bathtub, and you pour, you know, again, a standalone, not one that's sort of cemented in. If you have a standalone bathtub and you pour water in it, even though it's memsah, that's pasul midaraisa. That's tefillah of a kli doesn't work. So, the question becomes, what happened? What about snow? What about snow? So there is a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Perek Zayin of Mivos, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah says as follows: Eilu Malin v'lo Posel. The following things can supplement the mikveh to bring it to Arba'in Saw, and they never pass on the mikveh. Namely, even if you did, let's say, this, again, as I mentioned before, once a mikveh is not memsah, you can pour all the water in the world you like into it, even if the water is not in shuv and the mikveh is kosher. But if I don't have Mitzvah yet, it can pass on the Mitzvah. Give a little mind truth. The following things will never pass on the Mitzvah. And one of the Ashelek, Vahaborag, Vahakvor, Vahakvid. I'll leave out the rest of the list. Snow and hail and, I don't know, Glit is frost and Kvor is or whatever it is. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Hay Rabbi Shmuel non connected. Rabbi Shmuel disagreed with me. Lomar Hashelik in Amalas a mitzvah, that Shelik cannot complete the mitzvah. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, certainly, if I have 21 son of the mitzvah, and I can submerge myself, that's no good, even if I can get my body under completely underwater. But if I dump 19 son of Shelik in there, so then the mitzvah is good. So Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel said, no, no. Ve'idu anshe mitzvah mishmal. But the Anshei Meitva, which is in Jordan, testified in his day, Sha'amar Lahem, Su'u V'Haviyu Shelei Basu Mitva B'Tchila. Apparently, Rabbi Ishmael allowed the following. You take Shelei, you bring large amounts of Shelei, you stick it into a gourd, and he doesn't say this explicitly, the pashtus would be, is that the Shelei melts, and you have a mitva now. And in fact, Lamaisa, I believe we do hold this way. Now, one of the ways, if you don't have rainwater in a particular locale and you're trying to make a mikveh, what you can do is you can truck in large slabs of ice, put them into the mikveh, and wait for it to melt. If you have heaters in there, you could heat it and it will melt. And that's not my shuvah. It's 100% kosher. 100% kosher. So Rabbi Ishmael apparently testified along these lines. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Eben Havarat Kenayim Kolomar Kenayim Hashuvim Shechos Lamein Amal. That's the base Osei if I'm quoting. He's revealed from the Nuri disagrees and he says that Eben HaBorah, hailstones, are just like mine and they can be mine too. And we don't pass like revealed from the Nuri. So the halacha is that minimally speaking, Shelek for sure can be used to supplement a mikveh. Now, there are really three questions to ask. Number one, can you make a mikveh completely out of Shelek? And that comes, for the moment, I'll say, assuming if you melt it, is that good? Number two, assuming that of course, would be good, or maybe not. When we say that shelag is malas amikveh, does that mean after it melts, or even when it doesn't melt? And that in itself can come in two manifestations. One could be, let's say I have a whole bunch of water, and I throw ice cubes in it, and now the ice cubes bring it to mensah. So the question would be, do I need to wait for those ice cubes to melt? Or, if I'm a very, very brave soul, and more on that in the case of Shelag and Abana Ezer, which is one of the parts that's going to make you guys a little bit squeamish, supposing I'm a brave soul and I'm willing to jump in there and freeze myself, do I need to wait for the ice to melt or not? That's the question. And finally, what goes along with that is, let's say I have a large, large thing of Shelag, and it hasn't melted. Can I jump into it? And does that constitute tefillah? Finally, on the assumption that the last part is true or not true, how do we calculate the volume of memsah when it comes to shelling? And the shelling is a lot less dense than water. I don't know if any of you, how much you guys find to spend outside. You probably haven't spent any time shoveling, but I will tell you that this is a very, very light snow. Aside from the fact that the mayor of the city violated Orer HaGever HaShev Tach Bodam B'Sam Basoris Ravo. He relied upon the weathermen. Asher Pihem Di Ber Shav. Fine, so there really wasn't that much snow. We could have had class today. Regular class. It was fine. So the snow happens to be a very light snow. The physicists will confirm this. It's because the weather was so cold. But when the weather gets warmer, closer to the melting point, that's when the snow starts to get denser. So very light snow. So the it's light because it's not dense. It's not packed. So the question is, how do you calculate the volume of snow? So these are all the questions that one has to ask. Now, one last point I would throw in here is when we say that Shelag and Barad are not Shuvim, does that mean that you take it in the Kli? Or it just means if I pick up a block of ice and I toss it in? Now, water, if you pick up water in your hands, I don't remember the din. It's discussed in the Farish, but I don't think that's called Shuvim because it's not a Kli. Your hands are not a Kli. Mayim shuvim means in a kli. A kli doesn't have to be the kavul tumah. In other words, the kelim that are not the kavul tumah, like klei avonim and klei glalim and klei adama, still make mayim shuvim. That's a beferi shemish. The question is, what if I put the ice or the snow in a kli? Where fundamentally, it's not really necessary. So that, the starting point, that's a machlokas, the writer of the Baal HaMor. The Beis Yosef quotes all this. The Ragged says that that's not called shumvin. And the Balamor says, no, maybe the Mishnah is only talking about when you carry it with your hands. So the Pashtun says, we don't all like the Balamor. We assume that even if you take the snow and flee, that's not called my issue. That's number one. Number two, do you have to wait for everything to melt? So here, there's a famous Tosefta that the Beis Yosef quotes. You still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whose end was that
okay,
from?
Okay, I hear you. Okay, we were just getting a little musical entertainment. Fine, courtesy of Microsoft. So there is a passage that the Beis Yosef quotes in the Tosefta that's pretty clear. That's pretty clear that someone can be tovel while there are blocks of ice in it, and the ice counts towards the volume. Now, how does ice count towards the volume? So the writer talks about this a little bit. The writer says, not snow, how does snow count towards the volume? He says you have to pack the snow in tight. You don't have to pack the snow in tight to be tovel, but you have to determine that the snow is actually, in other words, when determining how much volume it counts for, you count the volume as if you had packed it, and then how much volume does it occupy. If our volume so, remember, is a volume, it's not a weight. Okay. So anyway, and of course we all know that if we were actually held that had to have the volume of water time, we know that how many inches of snow would constitute an inch of water?
10.
Between 10 and 12 inches. There we go. Fine. That anybody who's in Stern, when we're there for Shabbos, has that brilliant idea. Okay. Courtesy of my son.
And me, Rabbi Weider. And me. Come on.
So fine. Now I can tell him he was quoted in Shear. So the last question, which is really the most fascinating one, is not one I would really relish, but let's say you needed to do tefillah and all you had was snow. You did tefillah in the snow. So amazingly enough here, the Beis Yosef quotes a machlokas among Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Darkei Moshe actually quotes the source. A masek on the face, it's in Siman Reish Aleph in Yeridea. It's one of the two Siman, I think, Adochas Miklaus in Yeridea. It's Os Chav Aleph. The Darkei Moshe quotes that Bezel Shon Osha, Masek on the face, Rabbi Shmaria Mishapira. But Adam Echad she onas ishto v'hit fil oso b'sheling. This is probably not a very good marriage. He forced his wife, dumped her in the snow. She ate a lefushar, which wasn't melted. Umachzik ben saw the entire volume of the snow, if he were to go around, would have had our ben saw the whole rock shal tefila. He asked that it was good tefila. That's pretty amazing. I see a hand up, but not a face.
Yes, that's because I'm not sitting in the range of the camera, but. When you say the volume of the snow is memsa'ah, does that mean the volume of the snow would have been memsa'ah were it to have been melted, or that the volume of the snow as presently constituted was memsa'ah?
So I would say, go back, he doesn't talk about this, but I would say that you would follow the sheet to the right. In other words, the snow, you would determine, if you packed the snow in tight, would that be the volume of memsa'ah?
So,
the truth is, if you go al Pnei Haaretz, presumably, you're going to have them saw in that snow. Because any of the snow that's connected to where you go is part of the mikveh.
So,
and so if it's a large swath of land, you almost certainly have them saw.
Can I tell
if
by
you by the snow? It would be an issue.
Can I tell by possible snow outside my apartment then?
What's that?
Your apartment now.
I mean, how contiguous would snow have to be?
Meaning how connected? Anything that's connected, I assume.
Okay.
You have to look at the din of Eber v'Mikvaos. It might be that you require the thickness of Shoferes HaNod connecting the snow. You have to learn Mishnayos Mikvaos for this. But if you have like two bodies of water and a very thin thing connecting it, so whatever the shear there, presumably, is the shear for Tzir of HaMikvah here as well. So I gather that you might be asking the question, can you do Tfilah? You're not going to go to the Mikvah there, but could you do Tfilah's Kalim in that, number one?
Yeah.
And number two, could you do Tfilah Shabbat? Okay,
that might have happened. Mark Michael, it's cold.
So let's go down to the. Let's first look at the Shulchan Aruch first in Yeridea. The Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, dealing with Mikvaos, right? The Mechaber writes as follows. She'iva poseles, it probably should be H. Shiva poseles, Elo Mayim. I must have lost the word H. I cut it out by accident. Now here the Mechaber doesn't take a stand on whether you have to melt the snow first or not. But now the Rambam says, firstly, first you have to pack the snow down. You don't have to, you have to calculate it as if you pack the snow down. Then you can fold in snow. That's the Mordechai Yishtem Rabbein Yishmayim. Those who are machmir until it melts. Amazingly enough, here in Yeridea, thinks the Medina, everybody holds like a Medina Shemaria. He thinks the pastures of all the course like a Medina Shemaria, they can go to the mikvah and snow. As a result, and this is a very important nakuda, the Beis Yosef writes that even though he thinks the Medina or Medina Shemaria is correct, he says, "If you call Makom, according to the Beis Yosef now, Ein lahokel lasos nasa beisurat oraisa neged harav Rabbeinu Eliezer Rabbeinu Simcha u'mihu litvol yodav b'shelet v'du tefilas yadayim." And we're going to look at the din of Arachayim. But here, it doesn't mean to pour snow over your hands, but it means to immerse your hands in snow. There's a din if you don't have a kli, but you're by, let's say, a river or a lake, you can take your hands and you can stick them in the lake, and you can do tefilah. There are some qualifications, but generally, you can be able to do that. So I think it's a shaila in Orachayim. I didn't go to the course here. What bracha you make? Right? A bracha al netila shedayim or al tefila shedayim? I'd say the minute would probably be to make al netila shedayim. That's a machlokas. So the Beis Yosef said that if you don't have elamayim, kevah the tefila shedayim the rabbanon nira the shapir yesh lismoch al divrei harayim ben shmaya kevah the pshat hamishnah bedivrei haposkim b'sayela. Pretty amazing. So he says, Beis Yosef says here, tefilas yadayim, you don't have water or clean, you could just dip your hands in the snow and that would be sufficient. Again, one of the requirements for tefilas yadayim is you do require snow. They don't talk about the issue of tefilas kelim. Okay, one of you guys goes out today, there's a huge mound of snow on the side of the city streets, and you want to tovel the little knife that you got. So firstly, tefilas kelim, some of you may know a little bit of what's the shear of tvila for a kli?
What do you mean?
What's the shear mikvah?
40 zot.
So me'ika did the raisa, but kli only requires revius mayim if it can be immersed. The kli is at the end of the paragraph.
Pretty hard.
In the sky. Well, what?
Pretty hard to immerse something in a revius.
Yeah, what's fitting in a revius?
I say this again. I
can't think of so many kalim that would fit in a revius of water.
What about, are you something about Arvias? Are you questioning whether you could actually physically do it?
Yes.
The Gemara said, Amacha, a needle.
Okay.
They thought of that too. So the Gemara said, I think God could design that in Chesam Beis in Marchides Kalakom, the first paragraph of Sofin. So, however, the Median Torah, you could do that. The Chachamim already asked the way, far bit the Arvias Mayim. If you look in your Rebbeya, Nochas Tilas Kelim, and Sinim Kuf Cha, so there already, I think the Tumor quotes Rishonim were saying that Tilas Kelim in the Raisa only works for a Rebbeyas for a Tumma Betara. It doesn't work for Tilas Klevija. Because if you want it, if you're doing Tilas Kelim, so you can use the Tli, that requires our Bonsa. Anyway, bottom line is we require our Bonsa. But let's say you have that big snowbank, you want to do it. So presumably, whether or not you could rely upon Rabbi Mishmaria would depend upon whether or not Tfilas Kelim is the Reis of the Rabbanim. If you look in the Beis Yosef in Sivan Kuf Klas, there he quotes, though you might remember this, there he quotes the Rashba. The Rashba writes, I think it's in the Shiva, that the Rashba says, not everybody agrees that Tfilas Kelim is the Rabbanim. We tend to assume that tefilas klematos, metal kelim is the raisa, glass is only the rabbana. You make a bracha on either of one of them, but once the raisa, once the rabbana. But the Rashba seems to acknowledge that Rav Ravasa hold that even metal kelim are only the rabbana tefilas kelim. If you read the Rambam very, very carefully, I think it's a Hilchos Nachalos Asuras, but I'm not sure. Wherever he has the din of Tfilas Kevin, you read carefully, it sounds like Tfilas Kevin is only in Asmata. But certainly the last Kevin only did Rabbanon. So if you follow the logic of the Machaber here, or the Meshev say, you should be able to do, if you don't have a mik available, it's really a big tircha, you should be able to do Tfilas glass Kevin in a big snowbank. Okay. Marital Kevin already Rechoshit to the tree is a din daraisa, and therefore that you shouldn't do. Okay, so that's what the Beis Yosef writes in your Rodea. If you turn your attention now to Orach Chaim, and there's really cannot nothing in the Beis Yosef here, it's just in Shulchan Aruch. So if you look at the fourth source on the sheet, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Bavar, Bakfor, Bakli, Bamelach, in Riskon, Achenasu Mayim, Nokabehem, Vitolim Bahem, in Yesh Bahem Kishir. So he says that you can only do the Tilas Yadayim with water, the snow has to melt, but if it melts, you can do Tilas Yadayim as well. So the question is here, it sounds like the Mechaber is not clear against what he said in the Beis Yosef. So here, many of the Magen Avraham writes here, the Magen Avraham writes that this din in Shulchan Aruch, in Riskon, is only when it comes to the Tila, but if you want to be Tovel and you have a sheer Mikvah, so the Magen Avraham writes that it's Mutter, the Shabur quotes, Mutter B'Shas Abchak, if you ever have mind, even if you have it, dissolve it. And the Mishnah Berurah himself writes, even if the shelag isn't in one pile, even if it's just munach al pnei ha'aretz, and it's very diffuse, if you have mem saw before reyachai told them go, that's what he says. The only requirement, he says, is that the snow has to be enough to cover your hands. This is a kash I always had, and I don't understand why tefillah works in snow at all. The snow doesn't cover you. Right? If you jump into a huge snowbank, unless the snow collapses around you, part of you is exposed. When you put your hands in water, your hands are totally covered. All of your hands come in contact with water. But when you do a belly flop into the snow, so unless someone, one of your friends comes and shovels the snow around it, then you are not fully covered. So it seems to me, although they don't say this, that if you're going to tovel your glass in a snowbank, you should first cover it inside and outside of the snow, and now it's considered tovel. But just to put it into the snow, even if it's below the level, the surface level of the snow, I'm not sure why that should be good. It doesn't sound, in other words, what I'm saying doesn't sound like that for the Mishnah. The Shabur sounds not like I'm saying. He sounds that it would be good as long as it's fully immersed, even if it's not covered over. But I don't know why. I don't know why that's so. The Magen Avraham, which is the source of the Shabur here, the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef from Yeridea and thinks that it's mutter, but then he knows that the Shach is calling on the Mechaber. The Shach thinks the Mechaber is categorically wrong. He thinks that Rabbeinu Shmari is a Das Yochin, and therefore the Shach doesn't like the idea of even doing Tfilas Yadayim in a thing of snow. But he in Mishnah Berurah writes in Orach Chaim, obviously in Orach Chaim, Mishnah Berurah writes that if you don't have water, you can follow the Beis Yosef. Okay. So anyway, so that's the din of Tfilas Yadayim when it comes to when it comes to mikvah, and when it comes to tefillah shedayim. So we would not rely upon this to do tefillah in a mikvah. We wouldn't be total in snow unless the snow were melted, but we are allowed to use the snow. If we're not going to use snow, we're going to use ice. In fact, I believe the din is the favorite of the Beis Yosef and the Tribune of the Shulchan Aruch, that if you take mayim shi'ufin and you freeze it and you turn it into ice, it's no longer shaul. If you now take it and remelt it, it's now the mikvah is kosher. The mikvah is kosher. So if you happen to live in a desert region and you don't get enough rain to make a mikvah, you can't collect the rainwater. So this is a way of actually getting a mikvah which is kosher. Okay. Fine. Any questions about that? Okay. So next time you're on a hike, assuming you didn't bring a water bottle, or your water bottle has potable water and you don't want to spill it out. So then, if you want to heat your sutta, so you can take your hands, find the big snowbank, or not to immerse your hands, then you can be tilas yadayim. Fine. Now, next in, din number, I'll call it four. Evan Ha'ezer here. Now, yes?
I just said oi.
Question?
No, I just said, oi, this does not look fun.
I'm giving you the echo, so I can't figure out what you're saying.
No, nothing. No question.
No question. Okay. Number four is going to make you guys a little bit uncomfortable. Okay. But, nonetheless, you've read it already, you understand. And in fact, there is an English metaphor that's used, you know, when you find yourself thrown into a situation about freezing, which is actually the literal manifestation of this particular rama. Okay? So anyway, so this is as follows, firstly. The Torah says, "Uba'uch b'chasus v'rasuk b'charus lo sakribu eila la'ashem." And later it says, "Uba'aretzachem lo sasu." I'm sorry, "Miyad b'nekar lo sakribu." No, I should get the pasuk rather than this quote. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to bring. I'll read it for you fully. Not truncated. The Torah says, "Uma'uch v'chasus." It's parent chabeis pasuk chapalik. "Uma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus lo sakrivu l'Hashem uva'aretzachem lo sasu." So the Torah basically says that an animal that's been castrated and dismembered may not be brought as a carbon, but in addition to that, you're also not obartzechem lo sa'asu. The Torah prohibits castrating or dismembering in a literal sense, cutting off a member of an animal. Issue has ramifications in many areas of halacha. It's a big shaila when it comes to pets, because you're not allowed, and you're not allowed to ask an achar in either. I think it says the famous Shulchan Aruch there. I don't have the citation, but the din here are in sif and hay of Eben Ezer. But it says, I think, for fairish, you're not allowed to ask an achar to do it. So the question is, when the person's going to get a pet, once you own it, to bring it back and ask the veterinarian to spay it.
Yeah. Neuter. Neuter is for the male.
That's a big shayla. It's not such a dover pasha. The animal already has been neutered, so that's a different shayla. If you buy it, that's fine. But that's a big issue when it comes to animals. Now, this same thing applies to human beings as well, that you're not allowed to be nesari as a human being. And the Gemara in Shabbos points out that this particular din applies in two manifestations. It applies not only to physical castration, but it applies to chemical castration as well. The only difference there is that when it comes to a woman, we say that only physical castration is prohibited, which would be the milgeya ve'evare hazera, the classic, the evare hazera by a man are three parts. The testicles, the tubes that lead from the testicles to one of those, the vas deferens, I think
yes.
It's called, and then the penis itself. Those are the three dinim. If you learn Chayim Yevamos and you remember the sigurs of Suadatha and Meshapa, even though you might rather forget it, so it's in those three Evarim are called the Klei Hazera. By an Isha, I believe, you don't, the only corresponding ones we have, despite the existence of female circumcision, are the ovaries and the fallopian tubes. Technically speaking, I haven't yet to check the Poskim, but I don't believe that the uterus actually falls under Klei Zera. So the din is that for a woman, you're not allowed to be physical castrations, which would include, in theory, tying the tubes or removing the ovaries, unless, of course, there were medical conditions where there's a level of sakana. But Rav Moshe has a tube about this, about a girl who was developmentally disabled, and the shayla, the concern about her getting pregnant, whatever, and the question is, could they talk something? I think it's about that case. But in some cases, about tying the tubes, and maybe it wasn't that case. Maybe it was a woman who was a sakana getting pregnant, and they said he has a shayla somewhere about tying the tubes and so on. But there is an issue. There is an issur of sirus. There is an issur of sirus. We say that chemical castration is permissible for a woman. The Gemara in Shabbos tells the story, I think it was for Nachman, whose wife, I don't know, they don't name her as Yalta there, but his wife was Yalta, someone's wife. It's a Gemara, I think, in. Not Shlomo Shvatzim, I think it's the Daf Kuf Kav Ches or something like that. I'll tell them in a second. It's the Kos Shel Akarin Gemara. It's not there. Maybe it's earlier. Kalakalam or Kalkissa. Fire, do you remember where this Gemara is? At Sivris Biodayim? Here it is. It's a Knaf Kokiyot. It is in Shmona Shvatzin. It is in Shmona Shvatzin. So they tell the story of. Someone's wife, it's on the bottom of Kofiyot Ovid Beis. One moment. It's going to find that particular passage. But I don't see the story of one of the Amorim's wife who had such pain in childbirth that she drank a kosher lakar, and that was permanent serous. For a woman, because it's chemical, it's not Nogebe Merzera, it's Motor. That's why, even if one regard something like the pill, which creates temporary infertility, as a form of chemical castration, it's not also for a woman. For a man, it would be problematic. For a man, it would be problematic, but for a woman, even to the extent that one does argue that it's a form of chemical castration, nonetheless, it doesn't have, it's not a problem because it's not biodayim. It's not the gebeh ra'zera, and it happens to be, it's obviously temporary anyway. Okay. So that is the din of Sirus. So the Mechaber writes, in Eben Ezer, Sivan Hei, Sifdut Heis, the next sieve is the din that's quoted from the Rambam. There is no makor in the Gemara for this Rambam. They don't say Caleb and the Rambam here sort of struggle to figure out. I mean, not hard to see sort of how he calculated some questions to that, but. I know this tool may be crucial. Harisha kafas ha'adam v'shisa v'kelo v'shar chayos ha'chasa v'kosh k'tafa. If someone sicked an animal against another person when the animal bit him and injured him in a certain fashion. V'chink o shehoshimo v'mayim o v'sheleg ha'chad bito v'menu evri ha'tashish. Or he put it into an ice bath or snow until he literally froze his things off. Abe Lokeh, Achi Isares Biyoda. The Rotwe Makos or Makas Margos. So the Rambam, this is from the Rambam, he says you don't get Malkos until you do Sirus Biyodayim to the Abra Azera. The reason why the Rambam is a little bit difficult is because what's the marker for this Rambam? There is no such discussion in the Sukyos and Shas, and really in Shabbos that I just quoted you. On Kofiyot Kofiyot, there's no discussion of Sivrus of sticking a dog against someone, an animal, that injures them. So where does the Rambam get this thing from? Presumably from the Mishnah that talks about Rotzeach, that if you kill someone by sticking an animal against them, so you're puffed. In theory, the person could flee. If you take a Nachash, and you incite the Nachash to bite someone, you're also puffed. Unless you take the Nachash and you stick its fangs into the person. Then that's Metziach HaBiyadayim. That presumably is a marker for this Rambam. But if you take a person and you force him into the water and you don't allow him to come out of the water, that drown in that way, that's Metziach HaBiyadayim. So the question is, why then here is that not called Sirus Biyadayim? Presumably the answer is that in order to constitute Sirus Biyadayim, you have to act directly against the Ivarei HaZera. And simply putting him in water where the action is not a direct mutilation does not constitute an issue which you get malchus for. Okay, so here's the use of shelig for an unusual and slightly disturbing purpose. Okay, well, this issue, by the way, also comes up in the contemporary, my wife pointed this out to me, these contemporary discussions of transgender. Transgender issues raise a number of issues. Firstly, someone who is transgender, for halachic purposes, follows the physical sexual characteristics that they have. It doesn't matter what they think they are or feel they are. the halacha is that someone who is born with male genitalia is male, someone who is born with female is female. It doesn't really matter what surgery they do afterwards. If you take a man and you cut off his Eivarei Hazera, he is not a female, he is a Kurshafa or Tzvadaka or both. If you give him hormones to the point of causing shriveling of Eivarei Hazera, it also constitutes sin. You may not get malchus, but that also constitutes some form of sris adam. The permissibility of doing so obviously is a fraud, simply because to do so constitutes sirus. To do it via diet is a deraisa of malchus. To do it chemically might be this a deraisa, even though you don't get malchus. The only circumstances in theory under which it might be permissible is if there is nikuach nefesh, an appropriate doctor and rav have to be consulted to determine whether this falls under the miskeres, if you want, nikuach nefesh. Both number one, whether or not there truly is sakana, sometimes it's a concern of suicide, but number two is that the halacha recognized such a form as really truly being sakana. It's a complicated question. But certainly, absence of the situation of sakana, it's categorically usher to do such. And regardless of sakana or no sakana, the din of a person who is born male, you know, without ambiguous genitalia, we're not talking about an androgynous or a tuktum here, if you're born as a male, you're always a male. If you're born as a female, you're always a female. Okay. Last din, which is really, this is the most coincidental din. This has really nothing to do with snow. This is a Choshen Mishpat din, but it's, I think, the only place in Choshen Mishpat where Shelag is mentioned. So, to round things out properly, we have it. But the Gemara Baba Basra discusses a situation where you have an estate belongs to the father dies, and leaves an estate to his children. So we normally understand that within the laws of Yerusha, there are assets that are in the estate, and they are divided however the Torah dictates you divide, Nachala. If the assets in the estate appreciate in value, generally speaking, the appreciation is divided also equally among Yorshim. There's a shayla about Pishnaim of before, but that's not our issue right now. Now, the question is, what about intangible property? So there's intangible property which becomes real property. Let's say there were debts that were owed to the estate. Someone pays a debt back. That's called roi, not mosak, for those who know the meaning. If someone pays a debt back, so it's divided amongst the yarshim, there is no bit of pishnayim. The b'choras only note that pishnayim b'chol asher yimatzei lo, b'mosak enam roi. But there are other kinds of things that also, which are truly intangible, that might accrue to the estate. Supposing the father had political connections. Supposing he had the rights of tax collection. And now, after he dies, the procurator approaches the son. One of the children says, you know what, why didn't you continue in your father's job? So here, the Mishnah Baba Basra Dachkuf Nandalin of the days states as follows. Achin hashutafin shenafal echa mehen umanus. If one of the brothers inherits a concession, you might call it that way, so then it's divided equally amongst the brothers. Now, obviously, let's say the father had a taxi medallion. Okay, so he has the right to drive a taxi. So if this son takes it, he obviously, the schar of the labor, he gets to keep that. But the value of the medallion itself, apparently, the Uber has been dropping. Now, taxi medallions are a lot less than they were. So, to New York City at least. So, the taxi medallion that they now give to this one son really has to be divided equally amongst all the children. That's what the Mishnah says. Then the Mishnah says, Chola ben Israfe. Let's say one of the brothers gets sick. So, the Mishnah says, Israfe Mishnatzlo. He has to pay his own doctor's bills. Now, that may seem very, very odd to you at first glance. Like, duh, why would you think otherwise? So, tell me, guys, why would you think otherwise? Zach, can you hear me? Get his attention.
Zach.
Sorry.
I know because you did Sumas Bekiah, so I'm asking this question. You are reading the question. The question is, why would the Mishnah have to tell us that if one of the brothers gets sick, that the estate doesn't pay for it before it's been divided up, he pays for it himself. Cholam Nisrape, Nisrape Mishalatzo. What's the Havamina that the estate would pay the medical bills of one particular son? You don't have, even if you know the key is super, you might not realize this answer.
What is it? What's the question again? if there's...
The Mishnah says that if the brother's inherited concession belongs to all of them after the father dies. It belongs to the estate, it's divided equally. But if one of the brothers gets sick, so he has to pay his own medical bills, it's this rabbi Mishalapa me'atzmo, not me'no emtza. I wanted this comment. The Gemara has one other comment. The Gemara says this rabbi Mishalapa, and he heals it from his own pocket. So they from Eretz Yisrael, Shalach Rabin b'shved Rabilah. Rabin sent the message to follow. Lo shonu ela shachola b'tshia. Avobaones disrapin me'etzah. It's only if he gets sick because he's careless. But if he gets sick, min not through any fault of his own, then he's disrapin me'etzah. Now, what's the one type of sickness that you do have control over?
Cold.
What is disrapin b'tshia? We should all know this because we learned this at the beginning of the year. So, but if you get sick through your own fault, you pay yourself. If you get sick not through your own fault, which would be most sicknesses, then you are nisrape v'na'emsa. Why? Thus is thus. What's going on?
This is before the division of the property, right?
Correct. Before you divide up the property. Once you divide up the property, each man to himself. So what's the reason for it?
Okay, because the...
I'm sorry, Danny?
I don't have a svara formally formulated enough to say. Yeah.
This is a very simple concept here. The Ramban points it out immediately. The Ramban draws a distinction between refuah sheyesh la kitzvah versus refuah sheyin la kitzvah. If you need one course of antibiotics, so the Rabban says that's what the Gemara is talking about. Refuah she'in lo kitzvah means it's a long term, it's a chronic illness. The difference is that refuah she'in lo kitzvah is a din of mizonos. Refuah she'yesh lo kitzvah is a din of refuah. When the estate hasn't been divided up, the estate supports all the heirs providing mizonos for them. So that's why the Rabban said that if it's refuah she'in lo kitzvah, there's no chiluk whatsoever between. No difference because it's considered mizonos. But apparently, Rabbit says that in this particular regard, if a person was chalav ha'ones, we treat that also in effect. It's not mizonos, it's in a refuah, but we treat that like mizonos and we allow the person to be, the particular heir, to be healed from the estate. So, if you look at Sif Beis, in Hosha Nishpat, Sinan Kuvah Yitzayin, it's the second sieve in the source. Chala Echamayim, in Bipshia, Kidon Shahalach, Bishelech, Bechomech, O Bechom Mimosachama, there's our Shelech. If he goes in the snow, in the winter, or in the heat, in the summer, Chayotinizet, and Yesh Kitzvah, the Refuaso, if there is a Kitzvah, Misrape Bishalom. He heals himself because that's a dinner before and after the mizonos. And elo kitzvah, misrapi in the emsa. That's a dinner mizonos. Avol kala ba'ones apin the shikitzvah, misrapi in the emsa. However, b'kod then she misrapi, even before he gets healed, yichol lomar chalok yiman. Let's divide up the estate. That's very much like the Gemara says by an isha. If a person wants, I think exactly, remember, if a man's wife gets sick, so if he wants to divorce her and say, here's her ksuba, and he's allowed to do that technically. It's a manuvalic thing to do, but he's allowed to do it because if a man can't afford to support his wife with his onus, he doesn't want to, he can divorce her and she gets her ksuba, and he doesn't have to pay his onus anymore. So there's something about that. In the Philippines, and the fourth parent. Did we do that?
Yes.
The Mishnah says, I think, that if she was taken captive, he can't divorce her and say, here's her ksuba, teilech metipas atzma. That he's not allowed to do. Once he's mechuyev kodehar, he's mechuyev kodehar. But when it comes to refuah, he's mechuyev in raposa. But if he says, teilech subasa ben teilech prapis atzma, he's allowed to do that. I think ruach hacham is not nochemet. It's a disgusting thing to do. So anyway, so that's a bit here. The brothers have the right to say, look, we don't want to feel like paying your medical bills. Let's them. It was before the advent of Obamacare. And therefore, we want to divide up the estate. And you'll pay for your refuah. So now, halacha is that they are allowed to do so. Rambam quotes, which is the din of the tour. The tour, the Eish Omer in heaven. You're never allowed to be healed from this state. Because that's mezonos, but if it's before sheishal kitzva, it's not mezonos. You're not entitled to it. That is the sheet of the tour. The Beis Yosef just points out that the tour must have had a different girsa in the Gemara. So this is the last of the dinim. Obviously, here shelig is just incidental. Shelig is the way you get So the brother was poshea, and he took a snow bath. So then, according to the mechaber, if it's refuah sheishal kitzva, he's not entitled to it. And it's refuah sheishal kitzva, he's not entitled to it. According to Ravah, even if it's refuah sheila kitzvah, since he was poshea by jumping in the snow, he is not entitled to refuah from the estate. Okay. Anyway, so that's the those are the dinim of Sheleg as they appear in Shulchan Aruch. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your snow day. Hopefully you'll take some of it, a portion of it, to engage in Talmud Torah, maybe even a significant portion since you're off. Mir Tashem, I will see you tomorrow. We will revert to regular shir in Pesuvos. Are there any questions?
Can we just repeat the first svara behind behind the Isser for Risuk Shelag on Shabbos?
The first side of Isser, yeah, that Rashi, which is that it's Domel Melacha. You're like creating. You're creating water.
Okay, and how does that differ from the second one?
The second one says the Isser is it's not the difference is do we treat the water as domelach? And is it just an Isser Melacha, or is the problem here that by being Rasik Shelag you're creating domelach? And it's Isser Motza. I'll quote you the way
okay.
The way the Rabban quotes Rabbeinu Baruch. The Rabban himself says the Mira if I follow Rashi, then you show Srat Melacha Naguba. But Ubal Sefer Ashua Kasav Asur Yishum Nolach. So it may be that according to the Sefer Trum, maybe there's no issue of doing it, you just can't use the water. So in which case there's no point in being Marasek the Shelley. So that could be the difference.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Keep safe and keep warm.